This is the Big O Show.
How about this? Brian Flores sends out his offense, keeps his offense on the field. They are going for the win. The ball will be spotted at the 2-yard line.
Hey, why not? Right, you're an 0-4 team, zero expectations on you as a football team. Why not try in dramatic fashion to get your first win? Comes down to this last play.
Jack Calhoun is in for Miami at right guard. Fitzpatrick, he has provided a big spark. Three receivers out to the left, including the tight end. Durham Spice, number 81.
Matchups at the bottom of the screen. Preston Williams, Josh Norman.
Quick to Drake, he dropped it. They wanted a quick throw, and Drake was going to run it in, but it drops, it's no good, and Washington maintains the lead.
This is the Big O Show.
Yes, it is.
This is the Big O Show.
Oh, it's a Sunday afternoon, and unfortunately the Miami Dolphins came oh so close, and you just heard there on Fox the failed two-point conversion, which is going to stir up all kinds of talk all week long. It's going to get these writers pumped up. It's more Tua, it's more tanking, and I got to tell you something. The play call, look, I'm not the guy that's going to sit here and tell you, oh, they're tanking for this, and they're tanking for that, and they're doing all. No,
above my pay grade.
Yeah, that's above my pay grade. I'm not going to get into the Oliver Stone stuff.
Above my pay grade.
Yeah, I would have to agree with Josh there. That's above my pay grade. So I'm not going to get into that. Okay. I mean, you know, today I was kind of hoping that, you know, Callahan would be.
We've got to be the dumbest team in America.
Right. And I was hoping that would end up happening, right? Because you end up losing to the Dolphins and then you stay winless, which would have been beautiful. And the Dolphins pick up the win. And then we've got the frustrated Dolphin fans going, what the hell is wrong with you? Are you kidding me? Come on, man. We don't want to win.
That's a shitty situation to be in.
Yeah, there you go. There's Mr. Crappy Situation himself. You don't want to win, you want to lose. So the tankers are happy today. The Dolphins that are, you know, hardcore like myself, okay, you accept a loss, but I'm not going to be celebrating a loss. I'm sorry. I get you you Tua guys out there and all that stuff, but I got to root for my team to win. It's no fun to lose.
Yeah, I ran it there and we got it shoved up our ass.
I mean, it's not fun to lose. So I'm not really into the whole losing thing, but I get what this is all about. And that play call, it seems so weak. It seemed like a bad play call. They snuffed it out right away. Even if Drake catches that two-point conversion, I don't think he crosses the line. I think Washington stops him right there. They had a defensive end right there, snuffed it out. So it was a terrible call. I would have had Fitz throw it into the end zone. First of all, for the record, I don't go for the two-point conversion. That also will fuel more of this whole tanking thing. I mean, it's already all over social media that they're showing the play and they think that it's a pure tanking play by the coach. Now, there are two ways of looking at this, and neither one is good for Flores. Let me also point this out. If you want to look at it that he made a play for tanking, then that's not a good look for him, right? Because he's trying to lose technically by calling a play that they could easily snuff out, and they did. Or you could also say he's incompetent and did a bad job. Now, he has way less talent than everybody else, and his team was in the game till the end. So you can't hold that against Flores. He made the quarterback change. You can't hold that against Flores because it was the right call to make. It did give him a spark. It gave him a chance to actually win this game. Having said all that, I go for the extra point because this is not the kind of team that you do that with. They're not They haven't been playing together for years. There isn't all this chemistry between the quarterback and the players and all of that, and especially that offensive line. I'm not counting on them. I'd rather count, even though it's hard to count on Ryan Fitzpatrick, but at the moment, Stella had her groove going. So go with it. And I would have had him throw it into the end zone. You have two big-ass receivers in Parker and Preston Williams, both making plays for you, right? Got to admit, that final drive was a lot of fun, okay? First of all, Gesicki makes the catch of his short career on 2nd and 10 from the Miami, from the Miami 25.
Just under 2 minutes to go. Dolphins have one timeout remaining. 2nd and 10 from the Miami 25. Fitzpatrick with time. Throwing deep for Gesicki. What a catch!
What a catch.
It was covered by Bostic, a leaping fingertip catch by Mike Gesicki.
Now, listen, we can't say that Gesicki's arrived by any stretch or anything like that. Nice catch. I mean, the kid's a severe disappointment. He's headed to Bustville. I get all of that. But we got to give him some love for the catch. That was a hell of a catch. That was a fun drive. That's why you have to give Flores credit as a coach, because he made the right change. Rosen was off. He was off. He wasn't on target. He was late on throws. Interceptions were his fault too. I understood it. I really did. I had no problem with that. And Fitz on 3rd and 2 from the Washington 37, scrambling, baby.
Bring up a 3rd and 2, but of course this is 4-down territory now with time winding down. Mark Walton in at running back. Fitzpatrick sets. Fitzpatrick steps up and runs for it. He's got the first down. How about that?
Just gamey. He's just a gamer. That's all he is.
And he had that little fake pitch and everything, trying to see if he could get the defender off him and all that good stuff. But he scrambled for the first down. That was fun. I was having fun. I'm sorry. I'm a Dolphin fan. I was rooting for them to win, okay? Even though I told you on the show throughout the week, I didn't think they were going to win. I knew they had a chance, but I was rooting for them to win. And the fact that they had a shot all the way at the end, you got to give them a ton of credit. A play after that on 1st and 10 from the Washington 21, Preston Williams catches that 10-yard pass. The youngin will learn, you got to run out of bounds, kid. It's great that you tried to get the first down, and you did, but that was irrelevant at the moment. So hopefully you buy yourself a couple seconds. But the youngin is making a play in a key moment, which I thought was really, really cool. And then you've got Parker. How about that? I mean, listen, again, he's been a severe disappointment. But today, he made a catch in a key moment.
Either way, still got 10 seconds here. Look for a shot at the end zone. Williams is lined up top of your screen.
All right. Blitz coming. Fitzpatrick throws. Touchdown! Devontae Parker!
Nice play by Parker. Again, let's give him love. I know he's been a disappointment for everybody out there. I get all of that, but at least you got to give him love that he stepped up at that moment. They called his number. That's why in the two-point conversion, instead of the play that they ran, I would have had Fitz find either Preston or Devontae, or who knows if anybody else can get open. But I would have rather him throw it into the end zone for that two-point conversion. Listen, the one thing that he did, he wasn't taking sacks. Why? Because he wasn't holding on to the ball. He was making quick decisions. And we'll talk a little bit about this Rosen benching. But the two-point conversion, was that the good decision there? That's the one we're going to be debating about all week long.
How about this? Brian Flores sends out his offense, keeps his offense on the field. They are going for the win. The ball will be spotted at the 2-yard line.
Hey, why not? Right? You're an 0-14, zero expectations on you as a football team. Why not try in dramatic fashion to get your first win? Comes down to this last play.
Jack Calhoun is in for Miami at right guard. Fitzpatrick, he has provided a big spark. Three receivers out to the left, including the tight end, Durham Spice, number 81.
Matchups at the bottom of the screen. Preston Williams, Josh Norman.
Quick to Drake, he dropped it. They wanted the quick throw, and Drake was going to run it in, but it drops, it's no good, and Washington maintains the lead.
And I got to think, I think it's Jonathan Allen that was there, if I remember correctly, the defensive end from the Alabama defensive end that's been there a couple years, good player. They got several good players on that defense, man. And again, kudos goes to the Dolphins staff today. I don't like that call, but that can't make them a bad coaching staff because, folks, we have to. The offense and defense did not show up the first 2 weeks. The third week, the defense went into the third quarter playing decent football. Offense didn't show up. Fourth week against the Chargers, offense and defense showed up for the entire half. Second half, they didn't. This week, second half, they scored. Okay? They scored a couple times. Right? So, they were in the game all the way to the end. So, big picture, the team with the least amount of talent in the NFL has gotten better every single week. Okay? They tore this thing down to the bone. And so that is improvement, believe it or not, everything that they've done in 5 weeks. No wins, I get it, but they're playing better football. They're a better football team right now. And that was a good coaching move on his part by making the change, by implementing Mark Walton more. All of these things are coaching moves. He's got injuries. He's got to overcome on a team that lacks talent. X was limited all throughout the week in his practice. He wasn't full go or anything. Couldn't do it. So now you got to make up for that. And boy, Terry McLaurin had his way with Chris LeMons and Ken Webster and those cats that were just overmatched. Overmatched for Terry McLaurin. A guy I liked a lot, too, in the Senior Bowl. But listen, the two-point conversion, that's going to be debated. So, yeah, some of you could say gutsy call, go for it. But then again, some of you are fueled by tanking because you're wanting them to lose. So you want them to go for two. So you know that they're going to probably fail. Those of us that want to win, I'd rather you go for the extra point. And then we take our chances. Fitz is playing well right now. He's in a groove. Kick it off. Maybe you win the toss. Maybe you got an opportunity to win right from the get-go and put the pressure on them and all that. You never know. It's not like you're not facing a scary quarterback. So I would have taken my chances. But that's just me. What can I tell you? But again, Rosen not playing well. But again, I will give him credit because in his press conference, you know what? He understood why he got benched.
A couple things. That's kind of the frustrating part. It's just something new in every play. It's I've made plenty of mistakes throughout the game, but it's like if all 11 could make one mistake on one play and then get it over with and then move forwards. But I mean, I couldn't speak to details, but there are a couple things here and there.
Josh, who told you about the change at the quarterback position?
Flo. I came off the field and he told me about it.
What were your thoughts?
I was disappointed, but I understood the situation. It obviously was a smart decision given how the game almost ended, but. Flo's job first and foremost is to win football games, and I respect the decision, and it's my job to not put him in that position.
Did you see anything different standing on the sidelines that was happening that was different than the three quarters that you played in the game, where there was a lot of pressure and it seemed like there was a lot of duress that you had to deal with?
I mean, it was a different kind of game when Fitz went in, so they're running a little more 2 minute. A little bit lighter personnel on our behalf, so it's kind of a different game. But yeah, definitely some different looks given the circumstances.
Now, let me tell you something, okay? Because I want to jump in here during the press conference, as always, like we do sometimes when we do them. So just in case if you're forwarding in podcast, you might miss some of the stuff that we actually talk about. And what I love about what Rosen said there was he understood the situation. He wasn't playing well. He was off target. The interception to Isaiah Ford, that was a terrible throw on his part. It was late as hell. He waited till the kid was open, turned around, and waited for him. Now, could Isaiah Ford come to the ball a little bit? Sure. Could Preston Williams fight for the ball a little bit more? Sure. But he's got to do a better job of selling the play to Preston that turned into an interception. And Preston's got to do a better job of fighting, okay, for the ball, at least for a deflection. But on the Ford one, that has to be an anticipatory throw, okay? It has to be one that's delivered right before he's turning around. So when he does turn around, the ball is already on top of him way before the defender gets there. But the defender was able to see that he stopped, turned around, and waited. And now, should Isaiah Ford also come forward to try to, you know, body the defender and try to get to the ball and at least deflect it? Sure, but it was a bad throw on Rosen's part. He was off. He deserved to get benched. And he even said, hey, Flores' job is to try to win games. And he felt that going back to Fitz was the right move. And ladies and gentlemen, that was good coaching. So if we're going to pick on him for the two-point conversion, credit Flores for having his team prepared, his team in the game, the entire game, and his team with a chance to win at the end of the game and making the quarterback change that he had to make.
I know it didn't go to what you wanted personally, but the team was very competitive. Do you get any good feeling about that at all?
Yeah. I mean, I think as a team, this is a step in the right direction. Personally, I may not say the same. It's just sort of about taking it on the chin and continuing to improve. It's obviously a disappointment for me, but we almost came close to our first team win, which is awesome, regardless of who's behind center. I'm a Dolphin first and foremost. That was good, but I definitely got to get better personally.
I guess Will said earlier this week that you were kind of settled in
I don't know. It's not really like in my thought process. I'm trying to worry about who the mic is and who I'm throwing the ball to and stuff. So, I mean, regardless of if it's above my pay grade.
Yes, it is. Above your pay grade. I love it. That's kind of maybe my new drop for my man Rosen. I love that one, right?
Above my pay grade.
Yes, it is. Above your pay grade. No, and I love how he says, I got to get better personally. And that's the truth. He can't point fingers at anybody. He didn't play well today, and the coach did what he was supposed to do. You would actually call it really tanking if you stuck with Rosen because he's not moving the ball. Now, the first couple of games, things were terrible under Fitzpatrick, and Rosen would come in, and it would be a spark. Today was the reverse, ladies and gentlemen. Today, Rosen was not playing well. I know that's a pretty good defense, but he wasn't playing well. And to Fitz's credit, see, here's where the person that's going to look at this is going to turn it around and twist it all up. And, oh, Rosen setback and Rosen this. And you heard the question at the end of the press conference there. Well, you know, you were progressing so much and now that you lost your job at the moment, and he's not thinking about any of that stuff, and he shouldn't. And this is what it should be. It's a young quarterback learning how to play in this league. And I got to tell you something. This was a great move by Flores because if Rosen is smart, he sat back and maybe learned a little something from all of that. He watched Fitz come in and watched Fitz make quick decisions. And maybe then Rosen says, I've got to make quicker decisions on a consistent basis on this team that doesn't have great protection. I cannot sit back there thinking I have confidence because I have time, because I can get to 3, 3.5, 4 seconds. No, you cannot. You will struggle to get to 2.5. So get rid of it right around 1.5 to 2 seconds. Make a quick decision or get rid of it. And that's what Fitz did. And that's what Rosen wasn't doing. So hopefully, you want to look at it as a negative, go ahead and twist it however the hell you want to twist it. Okay? This is a coaching staff trying to teach players how to play the game, how to win at this game. You will have to teach Preston Williams to run out of bounds late in the game, not go for the first down. You will have to teach Isaiah Ford to come to the football. You will have to teach Preston Williams to fight for the football so it doesn't turn into an interception. You will have to teach Rosen you must get rid of it in certain situations really fast. If you have injuries on your line, if your line is not playing well, if your line is overmatched, make quicker decisions. This is all about learning. There is youth and inexperience everywhere on this football team. So from Nick Needham all the way to Josh Rosen, everybody is learning, ladies and gentlemen. Let's not overreact. Young players are going to make big-time mistakes. That's what they do in this league. Because they're young, because they're inexperienced, and because veterans are running circles around them. So whether it's a young lineman like Dieter, or a young receiver like Preston Williams, or a young quarterback like Josh Rosen, expect mistakes. And when you're going to compound that problem by your team being loaded with young players. So the fact that this load of young players made all those mistakes and we're still in the game at the end, it's a tribute to the players. It's a tribute to the coaching staff. Speaking of the coaching staff, here is Brian Flores, and he will address that two-point conversion.
No, we still felt good about it. I mean, we've actually repped that with, you know, that group in there, and I don't think that's what it was. They played good defense on the play, and you know, couldn't make the catch, and you know, I mean, it wasn't a QB center exchange, or you know, the ball was outside. Like, it's not the right guard or the center in that situation. So. No, they looked like they played it pretty well. Drake would have had to make a pretty spectacular play, break a tackle, which he'd been doing a good job breaking tackles all day. So I think that, you know, obviously the first part of it is good throw, good catch. After, if you don't have that, then you don't. The rest of it is a moot point.
And the entire play was off, right? I mean, Fitz gets rid of it quickly once again, but once Drake drops it, it's over. It's over. And remember, Drake doesn't play all downs. So here's a guy that doesn't get in a groove because there's two other backs that are sharing with him. And then throughout the last couple of years, the only time was at the end of 2 years ago where he played the last five games because they had no choice. He was the last man standing. But the kid's got to catch that ball. But even if he catches that ball, Jonathan Allen had him right there. So it really didn't matter. Just really didn't matter. He was going to be done. It was if you're going for the two-point conversion, which I disagreed with the call, I just thought it was a terrible play call on that one. But I'm not going to judge a staff with a ton of young guys on one play call when his entire bunch was in this game at the end. Got to give him credit.
Nope. No, we were going for two the whole way. We were thinking 2 point at the 10-minute mark. So,
Coach, you made the change Patrick. At what point did you start considering that? I think you put him in right at the beginning. Yeah.
I felt like we needed a spark. We were down 17-3 at that point. The defense actually made a good stop to keep it a two score game or a 14 point game. We just felt like that was the right move in that moment. The way we were going offensively, we had to get a spark going. We had to get something going. Try to make a couple plays in the kicking game. I mean, we just felt like we needed a spark, and this team fought. They fought hard. They didn't, there's no issue with effort. There's no issue with, trying to go out here and get a win. We just came up short at the end.
It was early on in the game with Rosenhan, five sacks.
Yeah.
It seemed like he was under duress.
Yeah.
From the outset.
It took us a while to kind of, get that under control. I think we made some adjustments at the, halftime, and protection was better in the second half, so. Obviously that played a role in the issues we had from a pass standpoint, but it wasn't just the protection. It's a good defense, so it's hard to get the run game going, and they got good rushers. So I think as the game wore on, we kind of got a better feel for how they were rushing. The protection was better. We had more better execution overall in the pass game, and we had more production. I think, Josh has done a good job. I think today, he wasn't having a good day. And I think, we're always going to do what we feel is best for the team. And today that was Fitz going in the fourth quarter. So, Josh is the starter, I would say. But, as this thing, as we continue to move along, there's always competition. I mean, I think, everyone needs to feel that. I need to feel that. The players need to feel that. So, I think we know Fitz was ready to go in today. I think he played well. I think that's, I think everyone can see that. And it's, we need players who are ready to go in and play. And, as far as, starting, not starting, I think today it was just a move we felt like we needed to make. No different than if, a back's not going, we put another back in, or a receiver's not going, put another receiver in. I know it's, the position. And I understand that, but I think we'll, Josh will continue to be the starter. And again, if we feel like we need a spark and Fitz has to go in, we'll continue to do that.
I love this because you also want to keep everybody on edge. Look, you're trying to build a foundation here. You don't know who's who, and you're still trying to win a game, and you want to keep your players focused. And if you keep the same guy in that's not moving the football, you will demoralize everybody else. So he made a good coaching move, which then lifted the team, and they put him in position. So, Rosen, you get the job again. You're the guy. There's no problem. But you got to know that it's not your job to just screw up all the time. It's your job as long as you do the responsible things out there. And at the moment, that's what we have to say. Josh Rosen wasn't playing well, wasn't being responsible. He has a little gunslinger in him, so he forces the issue at times. The play he threw to Gesicki down the middle of the field, there were three guys there, I think, or four. My brother, you can't do that. That guy was covered. There was no reason to throw that football. And then the one with Preston Wilson, Preston Williams, you didn't waste any time off that handoff. You were looking that way the entire time, even through the fake handoff, and you got rid of it, and the DB knew exactly where you were going to. Now, Preston didn't do a good job of fighting for the football, trying to deflect it to help you a little bit, but it was still kind of your fault, and I blame Preston to a certain extent. And then you had the interception when he threw to the receiver, Isaiah Ford. And it was a late throw. He was off. You got to make the change, but you got to keep everybody on edge. Okay? If you're not getting the job done at running back, one of you guys or whatever, we're going to get Mark Walton involved. And Smythe got involved more a couple weeks ago at tight end. Gesicki did a little bit today. He's got to do a lot more, obviously. a lot more, okay? But I love that Flores kept that option there.
You started Mark Walton because of his production, or is it something that the other backs
are doing? I think Mark's been playing well. I think all the backs are playing, you know, good football. I just wanted to see Mark, and I thought he went out there and made some plays. So in the run game, in the pass game, I missed the protection early. It's a block he normally makes, I would say, in pass protection. You know, he's been one of our, one of the guys I feel most confident in from a pass protection standpoint. But, you know, all those guys, you know, we have confidence in them all. You know, Balazs goes in for the, you know, on the goal line, and Drake made a lot of plays. So, look, I mean, we got the both of those guys a lot today. So, you know, starter, non-starter, I mean, they were all in there, and they all were, you know, somewhat productive.
How did Josh react when you told him that?
He was disappointed. You know, as he should be, as any competitor would be. But at the end of the day, he was excited for Josh and excited for Fitz and excited for, this team as we started to come back and, you know, creep our way back into the game and give ourselves a shot to win at the end.
Brian, that two-point conversion play, is that something you guys have been holding for that situation, or is it,
do
you see something?
Yeah, I mean, it's something we've, run a lot in practice and felt good about it and just didn't execute it. And, you know, they made a good play as well.
There you go. That is, of course, Brian Flores, the head coach, addressing the media after the game. And it's going to be a play call that we're all going to discuss, and the Oliver Stone theories and all of that, and it's going to be fueled. But you want to call it a bad play call, that's fine. I just want to give you big picture and remind you the Dolphins have a lot less talent than everybody else. That team's getting better under that coaching staff. Okay? And remember, they're a coaching staff that also has to learn. So remember, I was talking about a young Preston Williams and a young Isaiah Ford and a young Josh Rosen and a young Michael Dieter, and I could just go on and on, and a young Nick Needham and a young this and a young that, and they're all learning how to play, and they're all learning how to be productive, and they're learning all how to win. And so is Brian Flores, because he's a young head coach. He's a first-time head coach, never been in this position. He will learn, hopefully, and get better. But if there's a silver lining, okay, in 0-5, is that you are watching productivity. There is some productivity. You are watching improvement is really the word I want from 1 week to another. That's pretty cool, ladies and gentlemen. That may be, again, like I told you, that if he actually wins this game against Washington, maybe you actually have a coach. Remember, you're not only developing a foundation for the future, you're figuring, okay, that guy can stay, that guy can stay, that guy can stay, that guy can stay. Maybe that guy stays just another extra year because we won't have our entire team, but he's still pretty decent, borderline. We can keep him for one more year. I.e. Jesse Davis, things like that, and you'll be that's what you're doing. Well, the same thing you're doing is with the coach. Everybody always asks me, so what do you think about the coach? I always tell them, hey man, give me a couple years here. Give me into year two, and I'll have an idea of what I think about him going, into year two, halfway, three quarters of a way. Mike Gesicki, Charles Harris is a bust, done. History in the archives. Mike Gesicki is on the road to Bustville. Is he there yet? No, I still got to finish this season almost pretty much. I'm feeling the Bustville already, but it's not a stamp. Charles Harris is a stamp. The dude is a flat out bum. Okay? That's over and done with. Charles Harris is nothing. Okay, toast. I don't want to know anything about Charles Harris anymore. Done. History in the archives. Okay? That's how I feel. I'm not there with Gesicki yet. I got to give some players time. I got to give a coaching staff time. Gase won me in the first season. And then the second season, I was off his bandwagon. So what can I tell you? guy like that, you know, you got to give me some time to look at all of this and see how they develop. And that's what you're doing now. Let's find out if Coach Flores can actually, you know, be a good coach. I'm watching a football team that has very little talent get better under him, be more competitive. Okay? And he had a brutal start against four playoff teams, but yet his team got better and better every single week. And all those teams that he played, including this one today, they have way more talent than Miami. So I just, again, while you complain about the last call at the end of the game and you bitch and whether they're tanking or they're not, they're going for Tua or they're not or whatever, big picture, I think they have improved. I think they have done better overall, I have to say. Tomorrow, by the way, we will be broadcasting, as always, every single day. Remember, you can reach out to us on the accidentlawfirm.com text line at 786-322-1105. That's 786-322-1105. If you want to reach out to us on the accidentlawfirm.com text line, it's always there for you. Anytime you're listening to this podcast, day, night, whatever, you name it, okay? So we'll do that. Let's go to the accidentlawfirm.com text line. Regardless if we draft a QB or not in the first round, we can't win games with this sad excuse for a line. Would you agree? Say we need to prioritize the O-line. They will. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what all those picks are there for. They will prioritize the offensive line. They already did this year. They did get Michael Dieter. Hopefully he turns into a player. He's a young guy. Takes guard sometimes a couple of years to figure things out. So they will. Guaranteed the O-line and D-line. They will invest in defensive ends as pass rushers. They will invest in tackles. They will invest in a center and a guard. All of those things. You can bet your ass on all of that. This is a first-year reset where they got rid of everything so they can take the cap hit and move on and turn the page completely, ladies and gentlemen. That's what they're trying to do. Okay? Hey-o, has your opinion changed on Rosen after this game? Thanks, Dan. No, I don't change opinions on games. I don't do that stuff. I look at the whole thing. So I got to wait till I see him play an entire season to see how he develops. Am I anywhere convinced that he's the guy? No, of course not. Definitely not. But I'm still a Rosen fan. I want to see how he grows from this. Everybody has bad games. Even great quarterbacks have bad games. And not that he's a great quarterback, but he's a young guy behind a line that's getting killed. And hopefully the benching gave him a little perspective quickly where, okay, this is how I have to adjust. I got to do what Fitz is doing right there. Okay, I'm getting pressured, I'm getting killed, I'm getting hit 9 times, sacked 5. Let me get rid of the ball faster. And he'll learn. Okay? He'll learn. And if he doesn't, he won't be the guy. He'll be the backup for the next couple of years. Josh Rosen clearly did not play well today. Yes, I would agree with that on the accidentlawfirm.com text line. All right, at 786-322-1105. Completely stupid and asinine decision by Brian Flores to go for two. You have to kick the extra point in that situation. Flores gave this game away to the Redskins today on a silver platter. You are right. I can't argue with that. He gave it away. I'm not a fan of the two-point conversion. If you had a team that was established, then yes, I can see that. Great line, great running back. You know, all that stuff that you can count on, okay, go for it. But not on this one. I would have counted on Fitz and his arm because that's what got you here. That's the reason why you were back in the game. That's why your coaching decision looked really good, that Fitz made the plays that Rosen wasn't making. Fitz made the decisions that Rosen couldn't at the moment. Does anybody have a doubt that Tank for Two is not for real now? Kick the extra point, go to OT and ride the momentum. Bad call. That's what Lisa says on our accidentlawfirm.com text line. And those people out there that are thinking that, like Lisa, I can't argue with you. That's the impression you gave them with that call. That's a legit concern for anybody out there. Yeah, 0-16 looks pretty solid right now. Well, I think I'm the one that told you, you know, that they weren't going to win a game. It's just, this is a bad team, man. And the Jets, by the way, are spanking the Cowboys right now at halftime. Boy, the Cowboys are frauds. And in a twisted way, we need that. It's not that I want the Jets to win. Most of us as Dolphin fans, we hate that. But we kind of need everybody to pick up wins as much as possible so that way there's less competition for Miami. Now we got to hope for Cincinnati to pick up a victory somewhere. Maybe they get A.J. Green back and get lucky in a win or two. Big O, not that I'm an expert here, but I've made up my mind. I want Burrow, Jimmy in South Georgia. Joe Burrow's playing his ass off for LSU, and he's accurate. And he's playing in a pro-style-like offense. Okay? So I can see that. And Joe Burrow's got to be climbing the charts. Tua and Joe Burrow right now are looking like the better quarterbacks. Yeah. Herbert, I know he fits the bill. When I go to the East-West and the Senior Bowl and the Combine, I'm going to have some long conversations with people about Herbert and look in their eyes and search in their hearts to see if they really believe what they're telling me. Because he has all the physical stuff to it, but I'm not sure he's the guy. Big O, Joe Burrow keeps impressing me with the game against UF. Can't wait for you to evaluate him at the Senior Bowl, Eugene and Homestead. And Eugene, listen, I'm looking forward to it myself. I am. And I appreciate all of you. I mean, it's a ton of texts that are coming in on the accidentlawfirm.com text line. I really appreciate the support. I'm all in this weekend for the fish taking the grandkids. Got the RV sleeping on Dania Beach. Living the dream, bro. I need a win. Well, you didn't get the win, but unfortunately, but at least you got a pretty decent game. Hey, listen, we watched a Dolphin game for four quarters where they were legitimately in the game. It's pretty cool. This is worse than an expansion team. Okay? So appreciate it. Thank you for the shirt. Love your music knowledge. Appreciate it. Thank you. And we're going to have like three interviews this week on the soundcheck. The soundcheck will start now to really take off and give you more content. Okay? But yeah, the soundcheck will become much more active on it. So appreciate all of you out there. Let's see. What else do we have on the accidentlawfirm.com text line here at 786-322-1105? And one guy's, well, you know what? That one's a little nasty. I may not want to read that one. it's not fan friendly, that one. But all right, listen. Again, we'll answer all of your texts on the accidentlawfirm.com text line at 786-322-1105. Remember, you can also reach out to us on Twitter at Big O Show. That's the other way to reach out to us on the program. Bill, of course, our exceptional producer of the show. Wow. There we go. We got to thank all of you for tuning in on this little post-game action for you as the Dolphins unfortunately come up short to the Redskins. We'll have a loaded program for you tomorrow. We'll talk Dolphins. We'll get into the Canes win against Virginia. The Panthers, that's another story. A lot of things. Major League Baseball playoffs. Don't forget our NFL draft coverage at Tommy Rockers in Vegas is set. Go to our Twitter page at Big O Show. Go to our Facebook pages. Check out the links. Mark Angelo, NorCal Dolphin, organizing it all. We will see you tomorrow right here on the podcast.
This is the Big O Show.